720 WGN. Thank you very much, Vic Vaughn, in the WGN newsroom. Ken Smith with you in the WGN Skyline studio until 1 a.m. And then Nick DiGilio comes in at 1 a.m. Thanks to the people from Dispensary 33. I've learned a lot there. I thought that I've been hearing all this stuff about vaping, and it's not even an oil. He said we could talk for another hour about how it's not an oil. We'll have to save that one for another day. But if you've been watching the news and listening to WGN today, you have heard a lot about the Marnie Yang case. Back in 2007, there was a murder in 2007 of a young woman who was apparently the girlfriend of Chicago Bear Sean Gale and carrying his baby. And they're saying that Marnie Yang killed her, jealous rage, covered her tracks, and she was sentenced to life in prison. Now, they want to have a new trial. They say she didn't do it. They say she was coerced into confessing. Joining us right now is the lead investigator for MSI Detective Services, hired by the Yang family in this case, Steve Lupino. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you on this now Thursday morning?
Well, we've had a long 2 days. Our team has been, we've been on this for close to 3 years, and yesterday, along with my boss, Perry, and the rest of our team, and the attorney, Jed Stone, we went to the Lake County Courthouse, and we filed Marnie Yang's post-conviction petition, which actually a local TV station has posted it online. So if anybody wants to see it or download it, it's on scribd.com. I think it's scribd.com. With all of the, it's 29 pages, plus with all the exhibits, it's about 600 pages total.
Okay, so to remind everyone about this case, it was 2007. Was that when the murder occurred, or was that when the trial took place in 2007? The murder was in 2007 of Ronnie Reuter.
Right. In October 4th, 2007, Ronnie Reuter was murdered. She was 7 months pregnant with the baby of 85 Super Bowl champ Sean Gale. They were going to name the baby Skylar. She lived in Deerfield over on Elm Street. The shots were fired at 7:53 in the morning. 911 was called at precisely 8:07. And at 8:11, Deerfield responded. They said, clear the air. There's a white female on the floor of the kitchen, and that's where everything started. They shut down the schools because they didn't know if there was an active shooter or not. Ronnie's Jeep was still parked in front of the residence, and she was shot as she was leaving for work.
Steve, what was Marnie Yang, who was now convicted for two life sentences for the death of Ms. Reuter and also the death of her child, what was Marnie Yang's relationship to Ms. Reuter?
They never met.
They did not know each other.
The only connection they had was Sean Gale. Sean Gale, give you a little backstory on Sean and Ronnie. Ronnie was from Potosi, Wisconsin, and she met Sean when the Bears used to practice in Platteville.
I almost went to college at the University of Wisconsin, Platteville.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there, actually. she ended up moving. She didn't live with Sean. Sean had numerous girlfriends. Before we
of which Marnie was one of them?
Correct. Yeah, Marnie actually, Marnie was with Sean the night before the murder.
Okay.
But that was the only connection that they had with Sean. They never met each other whatsoever. And so what ended up happening, you know, the Deerfield police, the detectives were on this case, but because it was such a large case, they went to the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force. And if you know anything about the history about the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force, there's a lot of wrongdoings. There's police misconduct. And what we've done in our investigation, we have seen a lot of manipulated evidence. There's been a lot of wrongful convictions that have come out of Lake County. And I don't know if you know to put this on pause for a minute, there was a case back, in August 92, there was a rape and murder of an 11-year-old. His name was Juan Rivera. And they put him in jail, and he was in jail for 20 years. So finally he got a new trial, and they found out, they said, we have the subject's blood on your shoes. But his shoes weren't even sold in the United States until 6 months after the murder. So they planted the blood on his shoes. He ended up getting out. He sued for, you know, $21 million. But that's just there. You could Google the amount of wrongful convictions that have come out of Lake County. And we're so lucky because the attorney for Marnie Yang, his name is Jed Stone. He's out of Waukegan. He's had exonerations for 9 people. So we're so happy with him. But there's so many things that have happened in this investigation, Ken, that we have just shaken our head and saying, how did this happen? How did this not happen? Marnie's original defense attorney passed away. And Jed took this case a couple years ago, and this is where we're at now.
So that's when the ball started rolling on what culminated yesterday with the press conference and you trying to get a new trial. I know at the time of the trial, prosecutors and investigators said that Yang took extraordinary steps to cover her tracks. She was driven by a jealous rage when she killed Reuter. So the death of her original lawyer, and it was taken over by the new lawyer. That's when, so this has been going on for about 3 years to get to this point where we're at right now.
Right, but even before Marnie was a subject, I can tell you, you know, and once again, this is all in the PC, the post-conviction that was filed yesterday.
Okay.
A week before the murder, one of the residents that lives, you know, where Ronnie lived, and these condos are very close to each other, one of the residents saw a male black walking through the parking lot, casing out the joint, is his words that he used with the police department. And when he met eyes with the gentleman, the guy gave him a look like, you shouldn't be watching me. The day of the murder, another resident saw a male black running from the parking lot. On the same day of the murder, another resident saw a male black. She described 5'7 to 5'8 with an athletic, muscular build walking up to Ronnie's unit. Now, that was the day of the murder. They asked her, is there a possibility it could have been a woman? And she's like, absolutely not. I work for a plastic surgeon. I know, I'm very knowledgeable when it comes to skin and jaw tones and things like that. Then that same person that said this person was 5'8 with a muscular build, now Marnie became a suspect. Now, Marnie is 5 foot tall, weighed 99 pounds.
Okay.
The police go back January 1st, and they say, are you sure that this person, because this is the person that is a suspect, Marnie Yang. Mm. That same person now says, well, the person was probably 5 foot and had a thin build, which fits the narrative of the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force. And I just don't see in 3 months how somebody can shrink 8 pounds or 8 inches. I don't see in 3 months how somebody can go from an athletic build to a thin build. I don't see it. So I think about things that were, you know, about there's things saying that there was a silencer book. Marnie bought a silencer book. Yeah, she did. She did buy a silencer book for a guy that she was dating that worked with the Cook County Sheriff's Department as a joke, as a gag gift. And he ended up throwing it away. But the problem was the police did a garbage pull, and they see that with a receipt from things from Home Depot. And they're like, oh, she's buying stuff from Home Depot for a silencer. So what we went and did, which the original defense didn't do, is we took that receipt from Home Depot And we looked on the book about getting the silencer for this gun that they say was used, which was a Beretta 92FS. And you couldn't have used a silencer because of the barrel edge on that is not big enough. And even when it comes to the people that we work with forensics, there would be from steel wool or from with the silencer being used, there'd be some type of debris. There was no debris. But the first person that called in the 911 call, she was an elderly lady, and she still lives in the same building, and she was asked by the police, you know, do you think it could have been a silencer? And that's kind of weird. After they just find evidence of a silencer book, now they're asking her, hey, do you think it was a silencer? And her response was, you know what, I just saw a TV show or a movie last week where they used a silencer, and it sounded like that, like a pop, pop. So I think that there was a lot of leading of this is what we have, you know, can this story work? But, you know, what they did, with this, with the silencer to the shooter, for example. Right now, we have one of our experts. He's an ex-FBI agent, and we took Marnie at 5 foot tall, compared that to Ronnie, which was 5'9". She wasn't tall enough to shoot her. Where the shots go with the trajectory, and that wasn't done in the first. And so there's so many things that people, you know, if you Google the case or you see it on Dateline or 2020 and you're like, oh yeah, but she bought a silencer book and right. Yeah, and this happened, but we can debunk everything. And she had bad counsel the first time, but to see, you know, we have to prove everything with validity. And believe me, knowing that that these ladies were involved with a bear, every Bears game they talk about the 85 Bears, and we're not naive to the complexities of this case.
Well,
and
Steve, I want to ask you, I got to take a quick break, but Steve Lupino is with us. He's the lead investigator for MSI Detective Services, hired by Marnie Yang's family. Marnie Yang currently serving 2 life sentences for the death of Ronnie Rauter, and now they're saying that she didn't do it, and they're trying to get a new trial. I know that Marnie Yang originally made a confession. She said that she confessed it. She said that she did do it. So I want to ask Steve about that. You talked about debunking some of the things that came up in the first trial. I want to talk about that. 312-981-7200. Call or text if you have a question about that. We have a couple of comments on the text line about that. I want to talk to you about that as well, Steve, when we come back. Ken Smith with you, talking about the Marnie Yang retrial that they're hoping to get on this 10-12-year-old case that involves a double murder in Deerfield and a 1985 Chicago Bear. Very interesting. We'll talk more about it in a second. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We're talking about the Marnie Yang case. Marnie Yang serving 2 terms in prison right now for killing Ronnie Rauter in 2007. The girlfriend of former Chicago Bear Sean Gale on the phone with us right now. Steve Lupino, the lead investigator for MSI Detective Services. They were hired by the Yang family, and they are now trying to get a new trial. Steve, I've got someone who sent us a text here at 312-981-7200 from 773. They're asking, what was Marnie's mental state then and now?
I've gone out to Logan a couple times out in Lincoln, Illinois to see her. She teaches class. She teaches Spanish. I mean, she's fluent in 5 languages. Marnie is a brilliant person. Marnie was a single mom. She had 3 kids. She had her twins, which were Andrew and Emily, and Brandon was her youngest son. She was a single mom working 3 jobs to make it happen. And you know, you asked what earlier, you know, what her and Ronnie were, you know, what that they had in common. They were involved with an athlete, and I don't think that worked out too well. But Marnie's a great person. She's good people.
Okay, so
and it's hard to say that because she's in prison. She's in prison for murder, and people hear you say that, and they're like, "How can she be like that?" But it's just,
well, one of the reasons that she's in prison for murder is because she confessed. Why would she make a false confession?
Well, a lot of people ask that, and it happens a lot. The backstory on that is, like I was just talking about talking about her three kids. The police were taking her kids off the street. They were going into the home. They were picking them up at school. Now, at the time, the twins were 16 and Brandon was 11. They were bringing them back to police stations without a parent, without legal. They asked for an attorney. Police were telling them, no, we're not going to give you an attorney.
Well, was Marnie in custody at the time?
Nope. Marnie would be at work. They would pull them from school. And what's supposed to happen, they were supposed to be interviewed, but they were being interrogated. And when that happens, there has to be at least two police officers in the room, one of them doing the questioning, and the other one has to be a youth officer, which is an advocate for that suspect. And they would ask them questions. And they had them to the point where, Andrew was placed in a psychiatric unit. He had thoughts of suicide. This is somebody who's 16 years old, and they're telling him, we know you did it or your mom did it. Then, in another room, they would take the other sister. They were all separated. They would take Emily, his sister, and they were telling her, we think your brother and your mom did this. The police got to the point that they were harassing this family for so many years. Marnie had been divorced from their father. And the police actually told Emily, listen, we know you haven't seen your dad in 8 years. If you write this down, and this down, we'll get in contact with him. So she wrote down what they wanted her to do.
That's the, and they said, they asked this of the daughter?
Of the daughter, Emily, yes.
Okay.
Write down this statement, which is false, which is lies, and we'll get you in touch with your father. At that time, she thought that was going to be the only family member she was going to see anymore because they were going to put away her mom and her brother. She was banging her head against the table in an interrogation room. So she gets the number from her father. They said, he can't wait to talk to you. She calls him up, and he says, blank you, don't ever call me again. So they lied to her. They harassed his family for 2 years. Marnie finally got a phone call from her friend Christy Passion, which we'll talk about in a minute. And she said she was just talking to the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force. And Marnie, they are putting an arrest warrant out for Andrew for the murder of Ronnie and Skylar. At that time, and this is all, by the way, this has all been in logs because all the phone conversations were being listened to by Lake County and Cook County. She called her father, Larry, who was at the Lyric Opera House, and she said, I just got a phone call from Christy. They're going to lock Andrew up for murder. She says, I need them to stop harassing my family. I'm just going to say that I did it and then let my attorney get me out of this. I just can't have him harassing the family.
Okay, slow down for 1 second. Slow down.
Yeah.
So she says that I'm going to confess to this because I don't want... She's trying to protect... Doesn't want her children arrested? One of her children arrested
Correct.
For this?
Correct.
But wasn't she already a suspect?
You said that they were... been a suspect. She was a suspect for 2 years. But they couldn't... They were trying to piece things together. So they had this girl, Christy, who was a friend of hers.
Okay.
And just so you know, I'm going back to like when I was saying the post-conviction, and at the beginning I was saying that it's online, that you can get this, it's public record. We have all of these the pieces of evidence in there. We have we have an audio on there where Christy talks to Marnie, and Marnie says to her, well, let's just start making blank up. She said, let's start making some crap up. That's on there, and this is before she was arrested.
Okay, so according to you and her people, her investigators and her lawyers, she decided to save her children.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make this stuff up so that I can take the blame for it,
mm-hmm.
and not my children.
Correct.
Okay,
and then she met up with Christy at a Denny's in Arlington Heights. And Christy was wired by the Lake County Major Crimes Task Force. And she'd already had this conversation with Christy. Let's make this crap. I'm going to make some crap up. And during the, she started asking her questions about what, she's like, let's talk about, they were talking about the murder, and she's like, yeah, I did this. She was saying things that never could have happened. She said, yeah, I shot her, and it was dark in there. Well, we saw the crime scene photos. It happened at 7:53 in the morning on October 4th. We looked at all weather, the past weather things. It was sunny out. She said when she went to leave, Ronnie, like, went to kick her. There were no bruises or abrasions or cuts on the legs. Her legs were nowhere near the door where Marnie went to, when Marnie would be exiting. She said to Christy, yeah, I did one final shot. And the way Ronnie fell, it wouldn't have happened. She also said that she fell into the counter. She was nowhere near the counter. She was in front of the refrigerator. So everything that she told Christy, she did make up stuff. And she made up all these things that never even happened.
Steve, I've got less than less than 30 seconds left, Steve. I know that she wants a new trial. What right. are the chances that she's able to get this new trial? You got 10 seconds.
She's going to get it because there was unknown male DNA from unspent shell casings found there. Her DNA wasn't there. Her prints were not there. She was at home when this happened. We have proof that she was at home. She had a gun stolen 5 months before the murder. It was not disclosed at the trial to the jury, and it's all going to come out. She didn't do it.
Steve,
there's someone out there. Someone needs to help us and call us to let us know what they know. Somebody knows something.
It's fascinating. I think we're just at the beginning of this. We'll have to see what happens. Steve Lupino, lead investigator for MSI Detective Services, hired by the Yang family, Marnie Yang, trying to get a new trial now after confessing over 10 years ago that she committed this double murder. She now says that she did that to protect her children, and now she wants a new trial. We will see what happens. Thank you very much.